Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Causeway Community Church. My name's Spencer. It's a warm welcome to everyone. We're here this morning to meet with our God. But as we do that, I want to remind us of how we approach God. We get to approach God knowing the passage that we're looking at today says that we are no longer slaves, but we're God's children, that we're adopted. So this morning, as we come to meet with our God, we can be reminded that we're God's children. That means we can approach him like a child running to his father. That's what we get to do as we're hearing from his word, as we pray to him, as we're responding. We go as children to our God. And this morning, we're going to start with a song that reminds us of that. We can listen, we can pray in our hearts this song. It's called Come, Praise and Glorify. And that's what we're doing. We're coming to our God to praise and glorify him. But then a few lines later, it says that we've now been adopted through his son eternally. So as we listen to this song, be reminded that we come to our God, the eternal God, the creator God, as those that have been adopted eternally. So let's sing.
Come praise and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ he has in heavenly realms his blessings on us poured. For pure and blameless in his sight, he's destined us to be.
Thank you that we can come to you and we can call you our Father. Lord, I pray that you would get praise and glory from your people. And I pray that that would be true this morning, that we would see you as our Father, know that you have adopted us as your sons and as your daughters. Father, I thank you that you are a God of grace. You are a God of mercy, that you are the one who saves us. Thank you for sending your Son that we might have our sins washed away, that we are seen as blameless in your sight. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Spirit that keeps us until the day where we will have, we will see you face to face. There will be endless praise, endless glory given to you. Lord, I pray for us this morning that we would be reassured that whatever we face, whatever difficulties we might find, we know that in Christ we can stand as your sons and as your daughters. That no matter what difficulties, we can cry out to you as our God and as our Father. Amen. Let's continue praying. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And just as we do that, be reminded that we're praying to our Father. That's how Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. Let's join in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. This week has been a difficult week, particularly for Adam. His closest friend, Rose, last Friday collapsed and then was taken to hospital. Has been in a coma, and then on this Friday, sadly, died. Rose has been a great friend to Adam. I know lots of us have met her, know her, have enjoyed her company. And we want to pray for Adam, pray for her family. So please join me as we do that now. Father, we thank you for the life that you have given Rose. Lord, we thank you that she was one that was made in your image. Thank you for what a good friend she was, particularly to Adam. She was a mum, a grandmother. Thank you for the love and the kindness that she showed to so many. To many, even in this room. Lord, we are always brokenhearted when we hear of death, and we rile against that. Lord, we pray for Adam, we pray for Rose's family, for her children, her grandchildren. Father, we pray that in these few weeks that are bound to come with grief and difficulty, Lord, I pray that you would give them the comfort of Jesus. Pray that they would turn to you and know your presence. Lord, I pray that they would turn to you and know that you are the one that through Jesus gives life. Lord, we do pray for comfort, for peace that is found in our Lord Jesus. Amen. Going to turn now to another song. This song is speaking of the words of life. We have a God who is our Father, and he speaks to us. He reveals himself through his word. Let's sing.
As we gather, come and teach us. Spirit, come and speak today. You delight to lead and guide us.
From Galatians 3, verse 26, and through to chapter 4, verse 7. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is God's word.
Thank you, Marian. Morning all, good to see you. Well, I can see of you, I hope you're warm enough. Keep you concentrating anyway, perhaps. You might want to keep that passage open in front of you. We're going to be looking at that for a few moments together. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you that we are your children. Lord, we pray that this morning you might help us understand more completely and more fully what it means to be your child. Lord, help us to be clear, in fact, that we are your child. And help us, Lord, to truly feel that that's a reality in our lives day by day. Lord, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you will change us and make us realize what we are in you. Amen. Many today see Christianity as quite, or a very narrow religion, an oppressive thing, telling people what to do, telling people what to think, what they can and they can't do. People today, they want to be free, don't they? They want to be free to choose their lifestyle. They want to be free to choose what they are, how they live, what relationship they're in, how they marry, who they marry, when they stop being married. They want to discover who they are, look deep within themselves, find out who they are, and they want to live authentic lives. That's the word for today, isn't it? Authentic life. Be true to yourself. Be free. We live in a world that seems to value freedom very highly, so much so that it doesn't really matter what collateral damage is caused. If you're unhappy in a relationship, get out. Be true to yourself. It doesn't matter. Be authentic. That's what the world seems to be saying today. No wonder that people think of Christianity as a narrow religion, something that cramps their styles and stops them living out the identity they feel that they have. Christianity says, no, you don't find identity within yourself. You find it in Jesus Christ. We saw in Galatians chapter 2, Paul saying, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. No wonder people find that a narrow thing. They're looking to be able to express themselves, live how they want to live. No, says Paul, I have been crucified. I live for Christ. I no longer live for myself. It's always been this way with human beings, seeking their own way, looking to fulfill themselves, living in rebellion against God. It's always been this way. As human beings pursue their own vision of freedom, they find out, in fact, they're enslaved. As they pursue freedom, they find out they're enslaved. What starts out as being, this is what the Bible teaches, what starts out as being and feeling like freedom ends up as slavery. And what looks like a narrow way of life, what looks like constraining, what looks like slavery, turns out to be the true freedom that everyone is yearning for. So Paul identifies in this passage two groups of human beings who are in slavery. There's minors, kids under supervision. They might be heirs to a great estate, but they're under supervision, they're underage, they're under guardians, and it feels like slavery. They have to do what they're told. That's one group. And the other group, the first group feel like they're slaves, the second group really are slaves. And that's the two groups that Paul identifies here. And he says the Jews are like the first group. They're not really slaves, but it feels like they are. They're having to follow rules and regulations. They belong to the household of God to some extent, in some sense, but they're ordered around by the law. They're like slaves. So if you see in chapter 4, verse 1, what I am saying, says Paul, is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So even faithful Jews, it felt like they were slaves to some extent. You remember the story, David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem in the Old Testament. David is a man after God's own heart. He's doing the right thing. He's bringing the ark into Jerusalem. They're all shouting and praising God. This surely is what God wants them to do. And then they get to some place, I forget what the name of it now, and the ark's unstable, and Uzzah, I think, reaches out his hand to stabilize it, and he gets struck down by God. And here they are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to praise God. They're trying to be obedient. They're trying to do what he says, and they get struck down. That's how oppressive the law was to the Jews, even the faithful Jews. They were under these rules and regulations, and they were heavy, and they were difficult. So they were like slaves. And the second group were like Gentiles. Well, they were slaves, slaves to their gods, slaves to their heathen lifestyle. They were just pushing and living for materialism, and they were in slavery, says Paul. Two groups of people in slavery he identifies, the Jews, the Gentiles. Well, that pretty much covers everybody. Everyone who's a Jew and everyone who's not a Jew is in slavery, says Paul. Before Christ came along, mankind in slavery. In what sense are they in slavery? And he goes on to verse 3 of chapter 4. So, in this way, like these children under guardians, so also we, Jews, are like you Gentiles. So also we, when we Jews were underage, just like you Gentiles, we were in slavery. Jews, Gentiles, in slavery. How? Under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. It's a bit shocking to think that Paul is calling... Is he saying bad things about the law? Is he saying... The law is a bad thing. It's the terminology. It's a bit shocking under these elemental spiritual forces. No, well, of course, Paul thinks the law is a good thing. It did come from God. But these forces, the devil behind them, human nature, it turns the law into an oppressive thing. It turns the law into something that's really heavy. What was meant to be temporary, what was meant to point out God's people's need of God, people's need of a Messiah, what was meant to help and guide, becomes something that's oppressive. Human nature twists it, the devil twists it. It becomes oppressive. Paul makes it clear what he means by these elemental spiritual forces. Elsewhere in Ephesians, he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Those are the elemental spiritual forces enslaving people, even taking a good thing like the law and making it oppressive, and sometimes making it into something for many of the Jews, something it should never have been, which was, they thought it was their way to be the people of God, and it was never meant to be that, twisted by human nature and twisted by these elemental spiritual forces. And people who were not Jews were thoroughly enslaved to their pagan lifestyles by their gods. Thoroughly enslaved. So the Jews are imprisoned, the Gentiles imprisoned, enslaved to sin. What does that mean, enslaved to sin? It means we can't stop sinning. No matter how much we want to, no matter how much we try, no matter what we do, no matter even if we see that it keeps us from God and blocks the blessing of God, we can't stop sinning. Sin is there everywhere, in every part of our lives. Even if we think we've done something good, we probably end up feeling smug about it, and then all the goodness is gone, isn't it? We get proud. Whatever we do, we bring sin into it. We bring the stain of sin into it. We're trapped. We're enslaved to our sin. And there's not much difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. In fact, there's no difference at all. How do we get out of that slavery? And Paul shows us. We've seen it. It's so clear. If we go back to the beginning of the reading that Marion read for us. In fact, let's go to 25. Now that faith has come. Galatians 3:25. Now that faith has come, we Jews are no longer under a guardian. So the faith in Jesus Christ, we can see that from earlier in the passage, faith in Jesus Christ means that the guardian is removed. They're no longer under the temporary restrictions of the law. They're set free from it now that they've put their faith in Jesus Christ. We've come of age. They've come of age because they now have faith in him. Then verse 26, so he says, in the same way, just like the Jews, you Gentiles in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. just the same way through faith. For the Jews, it's faith. It always has been. We've seen, Spencer's been telling us from earlier in Galatians, it's always been faith. And now the Jews have seen it. By faith, they come into their inheritance. And so in exactly the same way, it's the same for the Gentiles. Faith in Christ makes you children of God. What does that mean? For Jews, it means God is no longer our judge. As a child of God, God is no longer our judge. The judge who through the law imprisoned us and condemned us. He's no longer our guardian who through the law restrained and disciplined us. They're free from all of that. For the Gentiles, he's no longer the judge who condemns sin, idolatry, rebellion. He's now our Father through faith. We are his children who've come of age through faith. He's accepted us. He's forgiven us, and we love him. We love him as a child should love the best of fathers. We're in Christ, and we're Christians by faith. How do we become children of God? It's by faith. It's by being united to Christ by faith, being in him and clothed in Christ. Verse 26, so in Christ, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you, Gentiles, but by implication Jews as well, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That's it, faith, united to Christ in faith. What does he mean by baptism? Well, he's not talking about the actual physical act of baptism. That's not going to save someone going through that kind of ritual. Of course he doesn't mean that. If he meant that, everything else he's written in the book is just rubbish. He wouldn't be flatly contradicting himself. He's pointing at what baptism represents. What does it represent? It's something Christians did in the New Testament when they came to faith. It's something, there was usually no delay. They'd come to faith, they'd believe in Jesus, and they'd be baptized. And amongst many things, perhaps, it meant this one fundamental thing. They were united to Christ. United to Christ in his death and his resurrection, and they had the benefit of all of that in their own lives. They shared in the benefits of the life of Christ and his death and his resurrection. And Paul tells us that in Romans. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. We're united to him. The baptism doesn't do that, but it represents that. We benefit from his death and resurrection. Our old sinful rebellious self is gone, it's dead, it's put to death. The price for our sins is paid. The price demanded by the Old Testament law has been met through the death of Jesus Christ, and we share in that benefit through faith. And we are joined to him, and we're clothed in him. What does that mean? We're raised to new life, and we're clothed in him. When God the Father looks on us, he doesn't see our filthy rags that we've just taken off. We don't patch up our filthy rags and try and make ourselves look presentable. No, we put on Christ. He doesn't see our filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of Christ. We're declared righteous. We're brought into the family of God by faith. We're united to him. We're clothed in him. We're set free. And in verse 28, everyone's in the same position before God. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He's talking to Gentiles. This is his big point. There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. We're all one before God. We all have to approach God in the same way. We're all equally sinful, and we're all set free in the same way. No, you don't have to go back to the law. You don't become a child of God by becoming a Jew anymore. No, it's faith and faith alone. There's no difference for Jew or Greek, and then he broadens it. There's no difference for men or women. There's no difference no matter what your social status is. Whoever you are, whatever you are, all equal before God, equally in need of salvation, equally unable to earn salvation, equally offered salvation. Sex is irrelevant, social status is irrelevant, race is irrelevant. We all need God. If you belong to Christ, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, whoever you are, then you are Abraham's seed. You're in the family of God and heirs according to promise, to the promise. What matters is we're in Christ through faith. We don't need rules, regulations, traditions. These things are irrelevant. It doesn't matter who we are. All in need of salvation. All in need of release from slavery. This is our position. Actually, he goes on and develops that. And if we skip down to verse 4 of chapter 4, people are in slavery. The Jews, even the Jews, he's been saying at the beginning of chapter 4, they're under this guardian, like they're in slavery. But, verse 4, there's hope. When the time set had fully come, in God's perfect timing, the timing he set before the foundation of the world, Paul tells us elsewhere, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we, Jews and Gentiles alike, might receive adoption to sonships. We're all slaves under sin, under the judgment of God, and here we have the perfect sacrifice offered up. This is the gospel, the perfect sacrifice offered up for our sin. God sent his son. His son was divine, a divine sacrifice, born under a woman. He was fully God, fully man, born under a woman, born under the law, which he kept perfectly. The perfect sacrifice offered for our sins. To make us sons, sonship. Actually, we got the NIV 2011. It does its best to be gender neutral whenever it possibly can, quite rightly. But it retains the word there, sonship. Why is that? Because sonship, it refers to a legal term, a Roman legal term, which means you inherit, you have full inheritance rights. So we're adopted to sonship in that we have full inheritance rights. Everything is on offer to all. And once we're in the kingdom, once we're in God's kingdom, we have that full legal entitlement which no one can take from us. We have this inheritance. It's the promise made to Abraham. All nations will be blessed from you. What is that inheritance? What is that promise? That the curse that came after the fall of Adam is reversed. Sins are forgiven. People are justified before God. They're declared righteous before God. The Holy Spirit is put in them. They're given new life and given eternal life with God forever. They're adopted into God's family. This is the sacrifice that was made, the perfect sacrifice to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. I want to leave you with three thoughts this morning, if I may. Firstly, understand what it means to be a child of God. Get a grip of it in your mind. Search the scriptures and understand what it means to be a child of God. This is the crowning glory of the gospel. I didn't say that. Someone important said that, and I can't remember who it was. But it's true. It's the crowning glory of the gospel. Yes, we're justified, we're forgiven. But not only that, we're adopted into the family, we're made sons and daughters of Christ. Do you want to understand what it means to be a Christian? Yes, forgiveness and all of that burden lifted off, but you're invited to become a child of God. Not everyone is a child of God, you know. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus and his apostles do not teach that. To be a child of God, you have to come to God. You have to turn from sin and receive him in faith. That's how you become a child of God. That's what it means. Yes, he's the creator God. He created everyone. In that sense, he's a father. But you're not in the family of God unless you've come to faith. Religion won't do it for us. Rules and regulations won't do it for us. That's not what Christianity is all about. It's about new life. It's about adoption. What does adoption mean? Adoption means, as I've said, you don't just get forgiven were adopted into his family. It's a family thing. It's a family thing. It's about love, closeness, affection. It's like the slaves in the West Indies. When the slaves in the West Indies were made free, the owners were not kind people. They just released them into destitution, and their lives were no better than they were before. That's not Christianity. We're not set free to a barren lifestyle. We're not even set free to come into heaven and you'll be okay, sit in the corner and be... No, it's come and join the family. Be part of the family of God. It's the crowning glory of the gospel. What does it mean to be adopted? It means we're chosen. It means we're chosen. It's like you go into an orphanage and I'll have that one. That's what God does. I'll have even Spencer. We're chosen. That's what it means to be adopted. Do you ever see that? Most of us are old enough to remember the footage from when the Iron Curtain fell and the camera crews went into Romania, I remember, into the orphanages. You remember those pictures from the orphanages in Romania? These incredible pictures of these kids in absolute filth, totally neglected, no proper health care, no education. It was just the most appalling scenes, and many of them were adopted. The kids were lying in these beds in their own filth, very often locked into their rooms. Tragic pictures. That's what it's like for us, except, you know, we're like those orphans, except the filth we lie in is of our own making. They were innocents. We are guilty. We're lying in our own filth. And along comes God, and he says, be a member of my family. Come and join my family. That's what it means to be a Christian, adopted into the family of God. It means security. If you adopted someone, if you found a child and said, join my family, would you ever kick them out? Would you ever turn? You would put up with, I don't know what. You've made your commitment. You love this child. If we would do that, how much more secure are we, adopted into his family, as if he would ever adopt us to let us go? We're secure. We're part of the family. Here's another one. Think about this. Jesus, he's our brother. How often do you think about that? Are you a child of God? Jesus is your brother. For those he foreknew, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What a privilege. What a privilege. And he shares his inheritance with us. It's not like the British aristocracy. If you're the first son, that's okay. You get the title, you get the castle, you get the grounds, and you get the London house. That's great. If you're the second son, you'll probably end up in the church or something, or in the army. It's not like that. Jesus, he shares his inheritance with us. We're seated with him in heavenly realms and in a spiritual sense already. We're partaking of that inheritance. He shares it with us. He's our brother. We're part of the family. It's an extraordinary thing. We need to grasp that with our minds. We need to see it in the Bible. We need to be thinking about it every day. These things should be at the forefront of our minds, so that we can stand firm when things get tough, so that we're full of praise and wonder and gratitude as we should be. We need to grasp these things, see them in the Bible, and know that they're true. Secondly, we need to make sure we are children of God. If we're not, we're in slavery, and judgment is coming. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you're not a child of God, you are in slavery. We need to think about this. We need to make sure. This is serious business. We should not put these things off. We need to make sure we're children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be confused. Going to church is not enough. Reading your Bible is not enough. Praying is not enough. Being baptized, that's not what's required. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure
You're a child of God. Understand what it means to be a child of God. And thirdly, enjoy being a child of God. This is what we see in the passage. Enjoy it. If you think you're a child of God and you've never had any pleasure in that, if you've never felt any love for God, not even a little flicker, I'm not sure you're a child of God. You can't be, because why not? Because when you become a child of God, God puts his Holy Spirit into your heart and you can't help but love him, at least to some extent at the beginning. And you can't help to cry out, as it says in the passage, Abba, Father. What does Abba mean? It's Aramaic for Father. It's the term Jesus used. It's an intimate term. It's a bit like perhaps Dad or something. It's an intimate term for Father. It's a term you use when you love your Father and you're in intimate relationship with him. That's what we're called to. That's what we should be enjoying. We're not here to rely on feelings. We're not looking for experiences. We're going to look at the Word of God always. That's what we should do. But the Word of God says he puts his Spirit within us. We can't overlook that. That's also part of the Word of God. He puts his Spirit in us so that we can see the truth of the Bible, and the truth is a living reality to us. And so that being a Christian is not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. It's a heart response to God. It's being a part of a family. We don't pursue feelings. We remember what the Bible says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Ephesians. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a comment from a chap called John Stott that some of you will have heard of. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit every day and every moment of every day. He puts his Holy Spirit in us to draw us to him, to make us know the relationship with him so that we experience him. This is being a child of God, and it's available to us. Ask for the Holy Spirit to draw you to God, to bring the Word alive to you, and draw you into a deeper relationship with your Father. So here we have these two groups of people in slavery. It's pretty much everyone, isn't it? And they're drawn to God, and they're set free from their slavery. Christianity, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about being set free. It's not about rituals and traditions. It's about a heart response to God. He enables us to escape from slavery and come to freedom. And this is the freedom he gives us. He puts the Holy Spirit within us and we cry out, Abba, Father. How can that be slavery? Yes, there's things we need to do. We need to be obedient. Yes, we need to follow Christ. Yes, we need to follow his commands. But it's freedom, because we've been united to him. We've been adopted into his family. We cry out, Abba, Father. How can that be slavery? It's the most wonderful place we could ever want to be, part of the family of God. It's not slavery. It's the most wonderful freedom we could ever have. Chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, Lord, please help us to grasp the truth of this passage. Lord, help us to know with our heads and know with our hearts that we are truly your children. Amen. We've got another song, I believe a live song. We're going to sing that together, and then someone's going to close the service.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that today we have been reminded that by ourselves we are all enslaved. Whether religious or not, all of us are naturally enslaved. But because of Jesus, we have been set free. And more than freedom, we have been made sons and daughters. We've been brought into your family. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you'd help us to enjoy that truth. Enjoy that we are adopted and your children. Father, I pray those words that we have just heard sung, that you are good and you have shown us such love, that we're adopted in your Son, Jesus. That means we can come and we can delight in your presence. Lord, I pray that would be true for us now. I pray that would be true for us this week, that this week we would enjoy being your sons and daughters. Amen. To close, I'd like to invite up Paul and Anna. We've got Paul and Anna here. They've had some things going on. I've realised, Paul and Anna, there's one microphone, so we're going to have to do a bit of a dance here. Okay, so I'm going to ask the first question. Then you're going to come up, then move over there, and I'll move over there. It'll be like line dancing. So Paul and Anna, they've been with us for many years. We've very much enjoyed having them as members of our church. But over the last few months, there's been some big, exciting news for you. And you're planning on moving on somewhere. So could you tell us that news? And could you also tell us where you're heading?
It's been a very big year for us, for everybody, I think. So we've got a baby on the way, as many of you may know, and a baby boy, which is due in February. So it's a big change for us, very exciting. And we're also looking to move up 225 miles north. So we're selling our house, we're looking to move in at Preston. Yeah, in 3rd of November. So we've got to move on the 3rd of November, but we're not guaranteed to move in. So we really could do with prayer on that. Yeah.
And tell us the church you're joining and how we can pray for you.
Sure. Yeah, we're joining a church in Preston. It's a small chapel, very similar to this. And it's called Preston City Mission, and it's where Anna and I met. And so, it's got a special place in our hearts. It's where we got married. And even before we contemplated moving, we were thinking about them as well, because they're an ageing church, and they probably do need help. So we did pray about it first, and then God has put everything into place following that. So, very exciting times. Thank you.
We have really enjoyed having you both with us, and we will miss you, and you'll have our prayers. I thought it'd be nice to, Peter has been your pastor for many years here, so I thought it'd be nice for Peter to pray for you as you look to be heading off.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we've learnt this morning of one of the most remarkable aspects of the Christian life is that we're adopted into your family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Our common experience of belonging to Christ gives us a unique bond of love and fellowship that the world does not understand. We're the better for having Paul and Anna as members of our church. They have been a joy to us, and it's been a great privilege for them to be a member of our church. Paul from the north of England, Anna from Romania. They've enriched our community with their presence, with their winsome personalities and love, with Paul's playing of the keyboard and Anna's singing, to mention just two aspects. Lord, we have joy in their presence, but there is pain also, because this is their last Sunday with us for some time. We are going to miss them, But there's no final goodbyes for the Christian. We will one day be forever together in your presence. Please help them with the packing and moving from their home in Enfield Island Village to Preston. Lord, we pray that the purchase of the new home will soon be completed. It would be so convenient if this occurred before the end of the month so that they can move straight into it. Lord, the move is made more complicated by two factors. They're expecting the baby, and what a joy. And we pray, Lord, blessing and protection on the unborn child. Give them joy and wisdom as parents. Please help them as they change doctors and all those other things, and the baby is born. We pray for a safe delivery. And the other thing which has made this complicated is the lockdown, because Lancashire is in tier 3. So we do pray that you'll help them at this particular time. And I finish by praying this blessing on them. May they never lose the wonder that you know them and love them. May Jesus be the fountain that refreshes them each day. May his grace sustain them. May his presence guide them. And Father, may they just know the love of Jesus Christ filling their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to close our service this morning with the words of the grace, which is on the screen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.